Someone is hiding. We didn't find you, Brad. We are struggling to hear you, Brad. You haven't got any way of amplifying your voice at all, do you?
You didn't find me, did you?
Oh, there we go. Brad, you're in the best hiding place of all. How are you doing?
I'm suffering for my art at the moment. But
suffering for your art. Well, Brad, you've been hiding. The sheep have been hiding. We want to hear from the Bible about someone very surprising who's hiding. So, Brad, can you listen very carefully? See if you can spot who it is. Dorothy, are you happy to read that for us?
Our reading this morning is Psalm 10, and you'll be able to follow it on the overhead. Lord, why are you so far away? Why do you hide when there is trouble? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, we're going to hear more from that psalm in a moment. Dorothy, thank you very much for reading that. But Brad, did you spot who it is who's hiding in our passage from the Bible?
Well, it sounded like to me that God was hiding. But that can't be right, can it?
Well, that's the extraordinary thing about this psalm, is it does say that it seems that God is hiding when hard times come. You see, Esau, this is Esau, what do you call it? Brad. This is a psalm about really tough times and how it seems that God hides when really bad things happen. So we've got a slide, I think, here with the problem that this psalm is praying through, that it seems that God is hiding. And boys and girls and grown-ups, I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that, when something terrible happens and it feels as if God is not there. We think, well, if he was there, surely he would have stopped it, or he would help me through this. And the thing that's really worrying the person who wrote this psalm is that it seems so out of character for God. So Brad, do you ever worry when someone does things that are kind of out of character?
Yes. So if we turned up one Sunday and say Cherie was at church and she was looking really grumpy and angry and being mean to people, I'd be really worried. Now, if other people turned up grumpy, I might be sad, but we'd just think that was normal with them. But if it was for Cherie, we'd be horrified. It would be so out of character.
Well, that's exactly the kind of thing I mean, Brad. When someone acts out of character, it's really strange. It's really unsettling. It's unnerving.
Or if it was Sunday morning and you turned up on time and well-prepared, looking relaxed, we'd be really worried. We'd say, what's wrong? Why aren't you out of breath and rushing round like a madman?
Okay.
There's something wrong. It's just not right. This isn't how you normally are. It's so strange.
Thank you, Brad. We'll get Esau back next week. There is something really out of character, isn't there? When someone's out of character, it unsettles us, it unnerves us. This is out of character for God. And that's what's really worrying the person who wrote this song. If someone else ran away and hid when trouble came, we might say that's just normal. Maybe they just don't want to get their hands dirty. It's not a big ideal, but the Bible and our experience tell us God is not like that. God cares. He promises to stick with us in the good times and in the bad times. And this psalm, it sounds almost rude. It's a respectful way of saying, God, what are you doing? This isn't like you. And we may remember when Jesus hung on the cross, he quoted a different psalm that makes a very similar point. He said, my God, why have you left me alone? Why have you forsaken me? And it's so unexpected. The God who promises never to leave us. We've got to ask, what is going on here?
Well, I think we should sing before we find the answer to that one. Can we sing one of my favourite songs about what God is like?
Is that the one about how God is a great big God? Okay, Brad, you look very excited. That's excellent. Okay, we're going to sing about how God is a great big God, and we've got some actions that go with it. So, boys and girls, you might know some of these. You might need to remind some grown-ups how they go. So, our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. and he holds us in his hands, and we'll make the rest of the actions up as we go along. Feel free to join in if you'd like. Feel free not to if you'd rather not. Let's stand and sing together. Thank you very much. Well, please have a seat. That was great singing and some pretty good actions. Some good enthusiasm from the church warden at the back. We're very impressed there. Brad, what do you make of that? We sung that God is a great big God.
Yeah, I want to know more about this great big God and about how big he really is.
And I guess we want to know, if he is this big, if he promises to hold us, why does it seem like he's hiding when bad things come? Dorothy, you're gonna read a bit more to us from Psalm 10.
Please, Dorothy. Thank you.
Proudly, the wicked chase down those who suffer. The wicked set traps to catch them. They brag about the things they want. They bless the greedy, but hate the Lord. The wicked people are too proud. They do not look for God. There is no room for God in their thoughts. They always succeed. They are far from keeping your laws. They make fun of their enemies. They say to themselves, "Nothing bad will ever happen to me. I will never be ruined." Their mouths are full of curses, lies, and threats. They use their tongues for sin and evil. They hide near the villages. They look for innocent people to kill. They watch in secret for the helpless. They wait in hiding like a lion. They wait to catch poor people. They catch the poor in nets. The poor are thrown down and crushed. They are defeated because the others are stronger. The wicked think, "God has forgotten us. He does not see what is happening." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Dorothy, thank you. But Brad, I wonder if you heard the problem there. The problem is that the wicked are winning. The wicked are winning. I think we've got a slide with that on there. But if we've got our service sheets there, and you're a reader, we might like to look at verse 4, boys and girls and grown-ups. The wicked people are too proud. They don't look for God. There's no room for God in their thoughts. They always succeed.
Yes, lots of people tell me that.
Well, the boys and girls and grown-ups... Can Brad and I let you in on a terrible secret? Because you might have been told, if you're a good boy, if you're a good girl, if you're a good person, everything will go well with you. If you're not, it'll go badly and bad things will happen. Well, the terrible secret that the Bible is very open about is that it does not always work that way. The secret is that there are bad people out there. People who are really, really bad. And they don't get into trouble at all. In fact, it seems like they get away with it. Verse 4, there are people who are so proud they don't even look for God. They don't care about God. And as C.S. Lewis once put it, people who are proud go through life. They look down their noses at people. They look down at people. So they never think to look up to see God. They live as if God is just not there. They think they're even more important than God.
That's got to get them into trouble, doesn't it?
Brad, good work on your cues there, Brad. Thank you. That is what we'd expect, isn't it? We'd expect that when people are bad and act that way towards God, that they would get into trouble. And yet, verse 5 says, they always succeed. Isn't the Bible honest? It doesn't tell us that if we are good people, then life will go well with us and everything will go fine. There are people we talk about as predators. don't we? We use that language. You treat people like they're prey, like an animal goes and eats people up. And they go through life saying there are no rules apart from what I can get away with. And they can do very well indeed. I know there are folk in church this morning who've been treated appallingly by people. Absolutely appallingly. It may be in a personal life, it may be in business. The thing that really hurts is that the people who did those very wicked things seem to have done really well out of it. And life seems to be going great for them.
So the wicked are winning. Well, I suppose God doesn't know how bad that feels.
See that, it's interesting you say that, Brad, because the strange thing is that God does. So 2,000 years ago, God became a man. A man called Jesus. And he lived a perfect life, a really good life, a life full of love and kindness.
So he'd have been protected and kept safe by God and lived a really happy life.
Well, Brad, that's what we'd assume, isn't it? Only that's not the case. His wicked enemies, his political enemies like Pilate and Herod, his religious enemies like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, conspired together, that they put him to death. They went out to catch him and destroy him, and he was hung on a cross to die.
Gosh, that's just awful. But it reminds me of another of my favourite songs. Can we sing about Jesus' love for us that took him to the cross?
We are going to sing in the light of God's great love for us that would take Jesus to the cross. We're going to sing a verse from the Bible about the cross. And there are some actions. I think we know those actions pretty well. So we're going to push the boundaries of my coordination quite a long way. And we're going to have a go at singing this song as a round. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, they're great words for us to sing in. Let's stand and sing together. Said that we can trust God even in times when it's really hard, even when it feels like he's hiding, even when it seems like the wicked are winning. But there's a third thing we need to see as we think through how this psalm teaches us to pray through this problem of the wicked winning and God hiding.
Whoa, I want to hear this. Dorothy, please, will you read it to us?
Our reading continues at verse 12. Of Psalm 10. Lord, rise up and punish the wicked. Don't forget those who need help. Why do wicked people hate God? They say to themselves, God won't punish us. Lord, surely you see these cruel and evil things. Look at them and do something. People in trouble look to you for help. You are the one who helps the orphans. Break the power of wicked men. Punish them for the evil they have done. The Lord is King forever and ever. Remove from your land those nations that do not worship you. Lord, you have heard what the poor people want. Do what they ask. Listen to them. Protect the orphans. Put an end to suffering. Then they will no longer be afraid of evil people. This is the word of the Lord.
Dorothy, thank you very much. And so here's our third heading. If the psalmist has been praying through this problem that God seems to be hiding and the wicked seem to be winning, our third heading is praying for an answer. Praying for an answer that God needs to cut up out of hiding.
Hiding! More hiding! Can we play another game of it?
Brad, seriously, this is a church service. Right? We can't spend all our time playing hide and seek. But, okay, right, because you asked really nicely and you said please, we can have a quick game of it, all right? We've got 1 minute. So, boys and girls, you've got 20 seconds to hide somewhere in a pew around you. Brad, you need to close your eyes or do something for 20 seconds. So just find a, boys and girls, you find a pew somewhere around you and duck down and hide somewhere nearby. Ben, don't go too far. You can just duck down. You can duck down behind a pew somewhere. That'd be great. Well done, Amelia. That'd be a great spot. Well done, Ben. Good spot. Okay, Brad, you're nearly ready to open your eyes. Nearly. Okay, Brad, you can open your eyes. Can you see anyone?
No, I've got my glasses on.
Oh, do you want to borrow mine? Here we go.
Thank you. There's some very suspicious-looking people at the back there.
Yeah, that's the church warden. They always look like that.
What are those hiding over there behind those microphones?
Yeah, that's the singers. Yeah, they're. They're a bit suspicious as well, but they're not hiding.
No, I don't think I can see anyone. Maybe they should come out. Go on, jump up and show me where you've hidden.
Can we have a big shout? Here I am!
Yay.
Anyone want to jump up and say, here I am? Here I am, there's Ben at the back, and Amelia. Brad, you totally missed them. Well done. Oh. Fantastic. Great hiding, guys. Can we have a round of applause for the excellent hiding? Excellent. Well done, guys. Well, here's the thing in our song. If God is hiding, it looks like the wicked are winning. It looks like he doesn't care. It looks like he doesn't see. But what needs to happen is that God needs to rise up. So verse 17, he notices, he sees the thing no one else does. Lord, you've heard what the poor people want. He hears the thoughts wicked people are saying. And so we need him to rise up. And the psalmist is trying to find a polite way of saying, God, please get up and do something. God, stand up, rise up. Like the sun needs to rise up in the morning to get rid of the darkness. We need God to stand up and say, enough. This horrible game where it seems like the wicked are winning, it has to come to an end. I will now bring perfect justice. I find it really interesting. There are lots of folk who say things like, well, I could never believe in a God who would punish anyone. And that's not the problem the Bible has. The Bible is much more realistic. The Bible looks at what's going on in the news. The Bible listens to the kind of conversations we have with people who are hurting. The Bible listens to what's going on in our own hearts and says, how come God has not done something about the wickedness in the world? And the evil that's there. The Bible says we can't believe in a God who won't punish the wicked. And that kind of perfect justice is something only the true and living God can do. Our kind of justice is always, it's a bit rough and ready, isn't it? But only God has the moral high ground to be able to bring justice and to bring those who are wicked to face what they deserve.
But when is he going to do that? When is he going to rise up and stand up and say, here I am, and bring on justice?
Well, Brad, that is an excellent question. But don't you realise that he already has? That's the lovely thing. If Psalm 10 verse 12 is our prayer this morning, rise up, O God. It is a prayer that has already been answered. So when God came into this world as a man, as Jesus Christ, he rose up, he stood on the earth as a human being against all that is evil. We've already said he died. He knew the reality of what it looks like when the wicked win. But he rose up again to new life. And not just that, he rose from new life to eternal life. He rose to the right hand of God the Father, and the Bible says he's sitting down at the right hand of God. And we think, well, that's no good. He's sitting down again. He's sitting, but sitting means his work is finished. It's over. He's the priest, he's the king who can sit down on his throne now that his work is done.
Well, why is he sitting down when there's so much bad stuff still going on?
Well, there is one place, Brad, in the New Testament where we're told that Jesus in heaven is not sitting. Really interesting. When Stephen is stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, he says he sees heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God the Father. It's like a football crowd just instinctively gets their feet in outrage when there's a bad decision. It's as if Jesus has risen up in outrage at what is happening to Stephen as he gets ready to come to his rescue and take him to be with him. So there is a sense in which God has already answered this prayer.
But wow. So God has already answered.
There's a sense in which Psalm 10 has already been answered, yes. But there is still more to come. The day is coming when Jesus will come back and he'll bring perfect justice on everyone who's ever lived. Everyone who trusts in him will be rescued. Everyone who refuses to trust in him will face the consequences of what they've done. It's that awful secret we mentioned earlier, that the wicked sometimes get away with it, turns out not to be true in the way we worried it was. The day is coming when they will face the consequences of the way they've treated God and treated other people.
So what should we do now?
Thanks, Brad. That's a great question. And as we close this bit of the service, actually Psalm 10 leaves us with two options, boys and girls and grown-ups. See, when it feels like God is hiding, when it feels like the wicked are winning, we've got two options. One is very understandable. It is to get angry or to walk away or to act as if God doesn't care and he isn't there. It may well be that there are folk here this morning in danger of doing just that. Maybe you're tempted to give up as a Christian or maybe you're not a Christian and you say, oh, well, I'm going to give up on God because he's hiding. I've tried it. It doesn't work. He's not there. Psalm 10 gives us words to pray to God, to cling on to what we know about him is true, that he does care, that he does know. And so we can tell God, it's okay to tell God that it feels like he's hiding, that it seems like the wicked are winning, and that we need him to rise up and rescue us because we can't do that ourselves. There's a world of difference between telling our problems to God and grumbling about God to other people.
So God's not actually hiding from us at all, whatever it might feel like. He's not standing at a distance.